If you were to really acknowledge that you are actually living with a living, alive God, and God is with you every single moment of your life, would you like that? I'm glad that some of you are nodding your head, because if, as we read in our very first page, the choir sang us as the opening. In this, if you read it very carefully, call to remembrance, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, which hath been ever of old. O remember not the sins and offenses of my youth, but according to thy mercy, think thou on me, O Lord, for thy goodness. How does that sound? Interestingly, or sadly, Christianity had created image of God somewhat troubling. That essential belief is that God is life, God is mercy, God is graceful, God is love. That's pretty clear in the whole Bible. And yet, if you read the stories of actual people, they were very afraid of their God. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, they were very distant from their God. And following that, Christianity in the medieval age and through created God somehow with this mighty power and judgment and heaven and hell and torture for eternity. And we have a big problem with, how could loving God have a prison where eternal torture is happening, and yet somehow there's a Jesus who's all love, and it gets more confusing. So when we are saying, I would love to have God being present in my life, I believe what you mean by that is God who is love, who is kind, who is merciful, who is gentle, and wise. Correct?
Forgiving.
Yeah? Forgiving. Yes, forgiving. Yes. We all have the sins that we did in our youth, I believe. Or a little after, too. Now, do we really think that God would be really offended by anything we do? If we were ever to think that way, we are making God human. And truth is, actually, we can only think of God as big as your understanding goes. Meaning, your God can be as forgiving as you can forgive. Beyond that, it's just words, just the stories, just the concept, just the theology. So very narrow-minded, judgmental, greedy, and power-hungry people created image of God and theology and church doctrine not to serve God, but to govern people. That is Christian theology in the whole medieval age for at least 1,000 years. And that dark shadow is still on you. Because sadly, afterward, not many theologians actually changed the course of it. They modified here and there. They changed the course of it a little bit. But they haven't really broke the chain. Yet, if you go back to the scripture and really read carefully, God's almost crying out. And sad thing about Old Testament is this. So people's thinking is this. God wants us to be pure, holy, and I'm not. Oh my goodness, God will punish me. And bad thing happens. Oh wow, this is God's punishment. And truth is, God may be standing right next to him or her and crying. Why? Because the reason for pure is that will enable that person get closer to God. And then impurity we cause will take us away from God. The, any distance that we create from us to God, it's like you are running away from the sun. What happens? If you're running away from the sun and if you expect it to get warmer, does that make sense? You need to get closer to the fire, let's say, to get warmer. But we are running away from that and blaming that it's the fire that's running away from me. In a way, that's the image, actually. That's the real story in the Old Testament. And if you read today's story by Jesus very carefully, what is he really saying? Sometimes we interpret like that as like, it's a punishment. Like, he's cutting you out and throwing you into the fire. Not true, actually. To be alive with God or not is our choice. And it is fully given to us. And yes, there's a condition to fully accept what is divine. And also there's a condition that we can fully reject what is divine. I believe no one believes that by birth, at birth, we're all pure and we're all angelic. We're all good. Therefore, I got nothing to change or improve. At least not me. Because in my deep meditations, which started I was 15, I found much darkness in me, and that has been my battle. And all these things that I saw in me, to me it was a shock and horror. And it still continues. So, if I ever give myself to those forces, I feel almost an immediate absence of divine. And to me, I'm probably halfway mystic or mystic that don't want to be called mystic, but most of the time I feel the presence of God and I'm very, very content with that. Because I feel God is always loving and whatever I do, my God is never get angry. Just cheer me into like, Juncho, that's not a good thing to do. Why don't you do this thing? See, you did that again. You got hurt. Paulja, come over here. That's more of my God's attitude. But whenever I am eaten or devoured by my own darkness, then that presence just is gone. Then all I feel is very empty, dark coldness. And should I call that God's punishing me? No. As soon as I get out of that, the presence is right there. So, living with God, God is alive, God is with you, and accessible to any one of us. You know, God is not hiding, God is not running away. Also, more importantly, God never punishes. Yet, our own action, our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own choices brings consequences. Either by our own conscience or by the relationships, or by certain choices making your life course to go this way instead of that way, it brings its own consequences. And let us not call that punishment by God. Because the one who will be crying with you at that moment more than you will be your God. As Jesus is saying, God wants to have the joy in us, God's joy in us, and our joy should be complete. But that doesn't happen automatically. That doesn't happen without our work. And our problem, as far as I know, studying all the books and history, we always want to go the other way. We like excitement. We like challenges. So one silly thing I did with my friend when I was young, I could share with you. And I'm happy that my son is not that adventurous. When I was about 8 or 9, 4 or 5 of us in the village, we used to go to the stream to play. Stream is always kind of shallow and gentle. But a few times a year, after the heavy summer rain, it really is filled with the water and certain corners are like really strong. What we do is we jump into the strongest and the deepest stream, and we try to go against the flow and see who can stay up there the longest or who can go the farthest. I'm saying it very silly because a few was almost drowned. Now, if we go the other way around, it's pretty fun and still easy, right? If you just go with the stream goes, then you can just ride with it, and actually it's pretty fun too. But somehow for that young mind, that's not fun. That's too easy. We want challenge. We want excitement. We want something that sounds impossible so we can be proud of ourselves. There is that in our mind, in our nature. So my last sharing with you is, sometimes choose the easy way, and that's the wise way. May God bless you all. Amen.